Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls in just a moment. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, as just mentioned. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A quick review of what I said on yesterday's broadcast with respect to abortion, because I want to make a very important addition. Yesterday, on the 46th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision to legalize abortion on demand, we didn't get to something because it wasn't available to me at the time that I did the show, which was around 6 o'clock last night. But when I got out of the studio, I found out that on the anniversary, yesterday evening, New York State legalized abortion up to the point of birth. The Reproductive Health Act, sort of a euphemistic title, contains a very carefully worded stipulation, which in essence says that a healthcare practitioner may perform an abortion when they deem abortion to be necessary to protect the patient's life or health. And health here is broadly interpreted by the courts to include age, economic, social, and emotional factors. Not the biological definition of health that normally comes to mind. And as a result, this bill allows abortion for any reason at any time during a pregnancy up until the very time of birth. When the 38-24 vote was finally confirmed, someone quite appropriately yelled out, it is reported, "May Almighty God have mercy on this state." Mercy indeed. Since Roe v. Wade, 60 million babies have been murdered. You think about the increase with Planned Parenthood abortions this past year, 11,373. A total of 332,757 abortions 2018. And I mention every single a part of that statistic, not just 300,000. Because the 757 are important as well, as is the 50 and the 7, even the 1. And as I mentioned yesterday, government funds to Planned Parenthood account for $564 million in revenue. That was an increase of $20 million. Private contributions, $631 million. And then you have 1.5 million individual contributors, and that's outside of foundation grants and corporate contributions. And something I didn't know yesterday as well, but found out after I did the show, Planned Parenthood in the fiscal year 2018 turned a profit of $250 million. A profit. And you and I are the dupes paying for this horror. Well, let's go to the phone lines, talk to Stephen in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the web. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about contemporary worship songs, so not quite as big of a question as what you were just talking about with abortion. Those are shocking details, honestly. So my wife and I go to a healthy, well-balanced church, you know, strong biblical teaching, sound doctrine, and our church has a contemporary style of worship with, you know, the typical lights dimmed and words on the overhead, and we sing a lot of the popular contemporary songs like Reckless Love by Hillsong, How He Loves by David Crowder Band, and they have lyrics, you know, about having meeting earth like a sloppy wet kiss, for instance. And I've just seen a lot of criticism online about these songs, and I wonder if it's okay to worship with these types of songs. I actually like the music and get a lot out of it, but I want to worship in a way that's pleasing to God.
Yeah, well, I think you're sort of alluding to this, but oftentimes the worship choruses themselves, and I experienced this over many, many years, they tend to reflect the values of our popular culture, and therefore we should not buy into them without question. Because so many of the values of the culture have to do with instant gratification and intellectual impatience and ahistorical immediacy and even the incessant novelty. Dr. Barry Leish has talked about this, and I quoted him in one of my books talking about this. It's a failure to offer a mature exposition of biblical doctrine. And so you have the values of the culture being imported into the church. But having said that, I've pointed out for many, many years that the Apostle Paul does urge us to sing to one another with psalms and hymns and with spiritual songs. He does that in Ephesians chapter 5. And of course, singing a psalm is a magnificent way for intercession and instruction, and even for internalizing the Word of God. And then in addition to that, you have the great hymns of the faith. In other words, they're not based on instant gratification, but they are great hymns of the faith that are rich in theological tradition and truth. And then there's room in Scripture as well for spiritual songs. Again, that's what the text tells us. Sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I think spiritual songs, if they're not reflecting the values of the culture, communicate the freshness of our faith. So bottom line, I would say it's crucial that we preserve a respect for spiritual heritage as well as a regard for contemporary compositions, but we have to be wary of these excessive repetitions and musical mantras that are not grounded at all and lead us into the culture rather than leading us closer to Christ.
Right. Well, I know that, you know, many, many, many of the churches use these songs, right? So I feel like it's nearly impossible and to avoid them completely.
I think that the pastor has a real responsibility because lyrics set to music stick in your mind. And because they stick in your mind, they have an impact on how you think about things. So this is no small matter. In fact, we might even say that it is more grounding for a lot of people than a sermon is. So I think we have to be wary of the content, and we can't just uncritically mouth the lyrics, because many of them are not biblical at all. In fact, they're distinctly anti-biblical, and the reason is the people writing them are not grounded in theological tradition, in truth, in biblical maxims. Going to leave it at that. Coming up to the station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web. You can give there in a safe, secure fashion. It's equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, John.
How are you doing, Hank? The reason why I'm calling back is there was a question that I didn't ask you yesterday, you know, regarding China. By the way, we have a person who goes to Willingdon Church listening on the online, and they really appreciate you there in Willingdon. So the question is a two-part question, and I really appreciate. I'll ask the question and. And then I'll just hang up and listen online.
Okay.
The question is, with China's, you know, wholesale war on Christianity and now turning towards the West and polarizing towards the West, the question is, could China be the great dragon talked about in the book of Revelation? If so, are they the country that will send a 200 million man army to Israel to fight at Megiddo?
Yeah, I can answer that question for you quite easily in that the book of Revelation uses fantasy imagery. And fantasy imagery is fraught with danger, that danger not in its use, but in its abuse. So in Revelation chapter 12, you have the Apostle Paul describing this enormous red dragon. And he says that the dragon has seven heads, and it has 10 horns, and it has seven crowns on his heads. Many people are very familiar with all of this because they've read things like the Left Behind series, so it's stuck in their mind. And then, of course, in Revelation, you have the tail of this dragon sweeping a third of the stars out of the sky and flinging them to the earth. Well, if you interpret that kind of imagery in literalistic fashion, then you miss the point of the passage. Not only would a single star, let alone a third of the stars, obliterate Earth, but dragons are the stuff of mythology, not theology. And John does not want us to believe that dragons are real. He also doesn't want us to believe that a dragon's tail could sweep a third of the stars out of the sky. What he wants us to understand is the reality of the devil. And that's what the imagery is pointing to. So the imagery is not gratuitous. It is metaphorical. It is fantasy imagery that has sharp teeth. He wants us to understand the reality of the devil's cunning wisdom, the seven heads, his great power, the 10 horns, his authority to influence others, seven diadems. Now, where do I come up with that? Well, I come up with that not because I went on some gratuitous flight of fancy, but I'm reading Scripture in light of Scripture. And this is what we have to do, because if we do not, we'll miss the point of the imagery. And of course, the beast is not only an image bearer of the dragon in Revelation, but he's also an imitation of the Lamb. And as an imitation of the Lamb, the beast can parody the work of Christ, but can't duplicate the works of Christ. So the danger doesn't lie in using fantasy imagery, but in critically impregnating the images with unbiblical notions. And that's what people do when they take Revelation and take the imagery and apply it to a modern-day nation like China. Now, China has huge implications for the West. No question about that whatsoever. But China is not referred to in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're told to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. I'm going to leave it at that. I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. So the 200 million has nothing to do with the Chinese. Frank in New York, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good.
I appreciate your opening today. I'm a resident of New York, as you stated, and I was absolutely devastated by this vote. In the last midterm election, the Conservative Party got wiped out in New York State, and the Democrats control the entire state now. And I foresee things like this happening more and more in this state, and it's literally scaring me to death. And my question to you is, as Christians, what can we do to turn this around? The mayor is insane. The governor is completely gone so far left that I don't think he's retrievable any longer. And as a resident of the state, I'm scared to death. What can we do as Christians to help turn this thing around?
Yeah, well, I think what you have to realize is what caused the problem in the first place. And the problem is not pagans, but Christians. And what I mean by that is that we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be the leavening force in a culture. And when we cease to be that, the culture goes in the direction that it's gone in. Now, that is not to say that we simply throw up our hands and say, well, it's now too far. It's irredeemable. It may be. But what we're called to do at this very moment, we can't do anything about what happened yesterday. We may not be able to do anything about what happens tomorrow, but we do have this moment today. And I think that what we have to do is then pray. We need to have our voices heard, meaning that we need to be active at the ballot box. But we also have to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, realizing that while the ballot box is necessary, it's insufficient. And the reason I say that is our culture is being shaped by the entertainment industry, by the educational industry, by the environmental industry, and on it goes. And we have to be that leavening force. We can't do everything, but each of us can do something. And if we would do something, we can not only realize the power collectively of the body of Christ properly focused, but we can recognize the power of one. I mentioned on a previous show, I think this week, one person in a loincloth changes forever the whole idea of what happens with nonviolent civil disobedience and becomes a model for Martin Luther King. So I think I mentioned that on Monday. We need to pray. We need to be as active and we need to give. We need to be involved. We will give an answer for what we have done while in the flesh. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Colorado, KRKS. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. First time listener here. I know from listening to you in the past that you don't believe in ghosts, but I have a question on Luke 24, verses 39. It says, for ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. Why didn't they say there was no such thing as ghosts?
Well, the reason I say that is because what the Bible is talking about there, or what Christ is talking about there, is spirits. Certainly, you can think about a ghost in several ways, and words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the culture, that the context allows them to have. But yeah, as delineated in the scripture, ghosts are the stuff of superstition. What foolishness to feign communication with the dead in the guise of enlightening those who dwell in the land of the living. If you're not bound to Scripture, you're bound to sink in superstition. Lazarus was not permitted to return to the land of the living. So the Scriptures make clear that the dead do not inhabit this realm. The very notion is detestable to the Lord. And so while the spirits of the dead don't inhabit the land of the living, demonic spirits are pleased to play on the field of superstition. And ghosts exist in mythology, but demons are more happy to feed upon unbiblical delusions than one could possibly imagine. And so if we lose the ability, and this relates to the last call as well, if we lose the ability to think biblically, we will quickly be transformed from cultural change agents and imitators into cultural conformists and imitators, from God bearers to Ghostbusters. Now, I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near Death Experiences. My apologies to all those that I did not get to on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, you can give me a call tomorrow. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people all around the globe. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The resource of the month you'll find there as well. You can also write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.